Welcome back to NELP's Young Professional Network podcast, Growing the Green Industry. Today's podcast is powered by our Young Professional Network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Hello, everybody. Brett Lemke here with RM Landscape, and I have a wonderful guest, Hope Smith. How are you, Hope?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great. Great, great way. Again, we know that in the magic of podcasting, no one knows what day of the week this is, but it's a Monday for us, and we're kicking it off our week here. Always excited to kick off another week. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Hope. Hope is the ultimate experience manager at Plants Creative. Prior to joining Plants team in 2015, Hope worked for more than 8 years in customer service and administrative fields. She's an Atlanta native who graduated from Georgia State University with a women's studies degree. So I'm sure all the listeners, and I even tagged it, says ultimate experience manager. Some big cool words there. So let's talk a little bit about that. How is that framed with your organization, but what's the fundamentals of your role?
Sure. So I get this question all the time, of course, because it is kind of a unique job title for sure. But the way it came about is Pam Dooley, the owner of Plants Creative Landscapes, has created the structure for the initiatives that we have in the company. And she calls it her ultimate experience, the ultimate experience. And the three elements that make up the ultimate experience for Plants Creative are the customer experience, the employee experience, and innovation. And so as the ultimate experience manager, I sort of have my hands in all of those buckets. So as far as a day-to-day goes, it varies a lot, but I dabble in our marketing and our HR and any of our new initiatives that roll out, like when we rolled out Aspire, I spearheaded that. So it's a little bit different every day.
So I think about those roles and functions, and to your point, we see those in the more traditional HR roles or even in operations and pieces, but to have that called out. And did you take on this role from the outside, or was this something you were part of the organization and were promoted into it, or was it a direct hire? Because again, I'd get a kick out if you saw an Indeed ultimate experience manager right there on Indeed. Like, man, I would come running like you did too before.
Right. It actually happened pretty organically because I started with the company about 8 years ago, a little less than 8 years ago, and started as an office manager, just helping with some administrative tasks. And over the years, my role has expanded and the scope of my responsibility has expanded. And, Pam and I both collaborated to try to figure out what the right title is, because there was nothing that felt like it really fit because of the breadth of things that I was working on. So ultimate experience manager sort of organically came from that.
Yeah. Well, and it's a good point. Another good point to say that you were part of a team, you're having good success, and you have your strength. And so, in that building, the opportunity where you can thrive, and it sounds like you're enjoying the role and the function of it, and it allows for that future growth, right? Versus those very traditional paths that are, again, leads to director of operations and so on, and these other pieces that are, again, maybe that's one version of it, but for those that are just joining our industries and create, there's so many more opportunities than just something revolved around horticulture. Guessing absolutely, with your degree and your past world, that coming into a horticulture company, wasn't the discussion way back at Georgia State, was it?
No, the landscape industry was not on my radar as a career path. But it's been a wonderful experience, and I think I really was lucky to get to get into it through someone like Pam. She's just such a innovative thinker and a boundary pusher, and it's been really fun kind of being along for the ride with her.
Without a doubt. And as we've all served in committees and boards with her, right, you've got your hands full. Right? She is going to keep you very, very busy. And
yes.
and thinking really hard about, you know, how to, and to the point is that customer experience, she spends a lot of time talking about that piece and then the love for her people and the team just really comes out, I think. So excited to have her as part and one of our leaders of the organization. And so, so what is that? Let's talk about the people space that you are involved in. What is, what are the big focuses that you, or time you spend with your team?
Well, I think a big portion of my time is spent every week in one-on-one conversations with my team. Some of those are organic and just kind of stop-ins to check on people. But there's also a lot of structured one-on-one times with the people that I manage, and using that as an opportunity to engage with them and make sure that they have what they need. And then administratively, of course, you know, there's all the HR paperwork that's fun to do. And I'm lucky enough to have an admin to help with that, but, but of course all of that. And then the fun part, is organizing employee events and things like that, our holiday party in the winter and, cookouts in the summer, those kinds of things.
So what successes have you had with the employee engagement? Anything that's really worked well for you that is, I don't know if it's different for the industry or just maybe a good refresher and reminders for us as listeners?
Oh man, there's, you know, several things. I think we definitely have spent a lot of time on our onboarding for new hires. And so getting them invested in the story of the company and the culture of the company from go has been very successful for us. I think we recently went through, it's probably been a couple of years now, but a sort of redo of our core values to make them a little bit more lived in and authentic to us as people. And that's been super helpful for us to be able to engage the team with our core values and make them feel more real. You know, as far as benefits and things like that, one of the big things that we have done within the last 2 years is our employee assistance program. And so that is a program that allows up to 3 counseling sessions for employees per year. So if an employee finds themselves in a situation where they need some extra help, those counseling sessions are free to them. And then there's a ton of other benefits that come with the EAP as well. Financial planning resources, you know, aging parent resources, all kinds of stuff like that.
And what generated that to exist?
I think that, you know, we as a company, and this is led by Pam, just have a genuine desire to do right by our employees and make sure that they're not just okay at work, but are okay in their lives at home as well. And also recognize the impact that, you know, when life throws hard things at you, that impacts your work. And it impacts how you show up to work and your relationships at work. And so providing people with resources to be able to navigate those situations is ultimately beneficial to the company as a whole.
Oh, 100%. You know, we spend a lot of time at work, but it isn't the reason we exist. And, as owners, we struggle with the idea that, you know, this is everything and it is a lot of reasons we exist, but for those that are, you know, learning this industry or pieces and parts, it's a conversation. Is this what I want to do? Is this fulfilling me? And as soon as we as employers recognize that that is a struggle that people think, then we could actually get better down to the root cause of what's going to help make them happier and what they're doing that for. And so how do you sort of approach that empathy or what did you learn along the path here that could maybe sort of cut through, like, or how did you learn though what needs were most important for your team?
I think the biggest thing is approaching each individual and the team as a whole with curiosity and asking the questions to understand what people's needs are. And I think it can be easy to say, you know, they want more money and they want XYZ. And not to say that that's not true, but oftentimes I think there's a gap there. If we just talk about benefits in terms of monetary benefits, and there's a level of engagement that you miss out on when you don't fulfill that emotional side for people as well.
Yeah, we survey a bit, and I've probably shared in the past that, but the always in our annual culture survey we've done, we've been asking the question, what's most important, and pay still stays in the top three. But it went from 1 to 3 this past year with, you know, how do we better onboard, help new people, you know, get better situated in the roles, so they have more success and leads to less frustrating crew days and all those things. And so, but it was just, it was a change in conversation. It was, you know, here's what we need to make our lives better. And, you know, within the RM family, more than it is about that pay piece. So you're right. It's there. It's always going to be there, but sure. Always, but there's more to learn that did it take a while for your team to share, the employees to share some of these needs or what's important to them, or how did you make them feel comfortable to share that?
I mean, I think that there are still some employees on the team that, you know, play it really close to the vest, and that's okay. But the surveys, like you mentioned, can be really helpful for those employees, because if they're anonymous and there's no fear of them kind of giving away who they are, it allows them to be a little bit more honest. As far as engaging with employees, I think the way that you get employees to be honest with you about what they need is just by showing that you care in the small ways, so that when the big issues come up, you've already built that organically, and it doesn't feel like you have to force it out of them, you know? But just the small conversations, asking how they're doing, engaging with them about what they're doing on the weekend, that builds the trust between you and your employees, so that when something big happens, they know that they can trust you with that information.
So how do you coach managers through that? You know, some that are very social type managers, this is the easiest thing, right? And they actually would prefer to have those conversations than the hard accountability questions to, you know, production and qualities and all those, the reasons they exist at the company. But so how does that becomes, how do you coach that through to be a learned piece?
The things that I've been really intentional about doing with my direct reports is putting together an agenda for our one-on-one. And I, as a part of that agenda, put check-in questions. So, you know, we're going to check in on that issue that you had last week with your aging parent who, you know, you're having to consider putting in a nursing home. And I put that on our agenda so that we can continue to check in on it. And, you know, I think providing structure for those people who really like the structure can help them build those soft skills more naturally, but you make it just an everyday part of those conversations that you have with employees.
Yeah, that's very helpful. If it doesn't come naturally, you have right. to practice it, and to practice it, you need the notes in front of you to ask these kind of questions. And but you know, and I always suggest do it when you have authenticity. Don't do it while you read the paper and say, "How are your parents?" Right? You have to.
Right.
You have to believe in it. And if you don't, then don't. But you have to find that place within your organization that will. And so you don't have to be everyone for everyone. But it is. But it is important that it exists within that group. And so I will often see. You know, if you're talking about the person that just joined us and as a crew person, how do they get that one-on-one engagement when really our manager is so focused on the leaders of the crews and getting the production done, but it's like, you know, set up the mentoring programs, have somebody else reach out to them, and where it isn't about their role and it's just about how are they doing. I take the role pretty serious to say that, you know, when I'm out there and seeing teams or in our social functions, it's not about the work, right? It can't be about the work from, you know, an ownership or a leadership role. It's really about who the person is. And there might be that person maybe struggling here in the organization and I may not be aware of it. And that's good. I think that it's helpful. I could just talk to them. And if that helps, great. And if it doesn't, but at least I'm not yet another person just saying, hey, you know, did you beat the hours this week?
Right.
If you didn't beat the hours, then, but it takes for me to be reminders to myself, like I got to think beyond those moments for folks.
And I think you can start small too, you know, as a leader, just even if you have to put a task reminder on your calendar to say, I'm going to check in with 3 employees today organically and talk to them about something not work related. And if that's how your brain works, if you're a task list, checklist type person, that might be helpful for you to actually, again, build that practice. Like you said, it is a practice. So the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Oh, I always admire those that write thank you notes and they do it so well. And for the littlest things, and clearly, like my sister is fantastic at it. Even just like, hey, I had a nice dinner at the house over the weekend, and she'll send me a note or a text. And I want to be that person that does those, even the littlest things, but it has to become a part of my list, a function, because it's just, it's not there, but it can be, and it's a part of it. So I love that reminder of just practice it, and every little thing goes, and then it means the world on the other end. So it has huge, huge reward.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we know that you guys have perfected the teams. You got the best team out of all the organizations. You've solved that. What's the client experience? What are the initiatives you're working on with your clients right now?
Well, a couple of different things that we're doing. One of the big ones is we're looking to grow what we're calling our Smart Landscapes division. We've called it Connect. A big part of that, of course, is smart irrigation, and we've built service plans around that. And the idea is to really simplify the customer experience in terms of, you know, you just pay this flat monthly fee and then we'll take care of the rest. And looking to do that in all of that, the different service lines within our Connect division, which would be, you know, lighting, audio, auto mowers is a big one for us. So really digging into what we can do to engage with customers, one, who aren't already maintenance customers, and provide them with a service that they find valuable. That's a big initiative for us right now, for sure.
So what's any roadblocks that you've experienced along the way from the customer perspective or the internal world?
I think the biggest challenge with any of this is that we're, especially on the auto mower front, we're kind of figuring it out as we go. There's not like a roadmap to already follow. And so we have a big picture idea of what we want this to look like. And then we have to kind of tweak and turn and adjust as we go to figure out what's going to be the right fit for us as a company, but also for the customers that we're looking to bring on.
Well, and it's, you know, we all struggle with this. We want to tackle these big picture, these big ideas, and for our team or the clients. But it is, where do you start? Right. And the pieces, and I'm curious, just in your role, how do you flip your head from internal team initiatives, then to go with these external ones, they need different demands and different thought. How do you balance that, those conversations?
I mean, it can certainly be challenging. I think there is definitely some parallels. I think when it comes to customer experience and employee experience, approaching with that curiosity is such an important part of it. And just being really dialed in to what both groups are needing, and keeping your ears and your mind open to what people are asking for. And I think that is the primary parallels between those two kind of experiences for the company.
Well, and you know, as many of our industry's owner operators, this is the one person that wears all the hats, and you know, it's easy conversations, but you don't have with yourself, but you don't have a lot of different opinions of what or how to approach it. So it's really like we're looking within the team, delegate the role and the opportunity to folks like Hope, or to just bring people into conversations and reach out and ask a lot of questions. And so how do you get feedback from your customers? Do you do a lot of surveys, or is it just one-on-one conversations with those?
It's both. We do a lot of surveys. So we have a survey that we link in virtually every communication we send to our customers. So service notifications for maintenance, there's a link to our survey. Invoices, there's a link to our survey. You know, a check-in, there's a link to our survey. And then periodically for our maintenance customers, we'll do a survey to everybody all at the same time. And certainly that is a great way for us to get feedback from them. But also I think our team does a really good job of asking people how it went just organically in conversation. And I mean, we all know if it doesn't go well, you'll hear about it for sure. But
yeah. That's not a lot of prompting required there.
Yeah, exactly. But it's always such a pleasure when a customer reaches out to me or to Pam, or even to one of our team members and just says, you know, wow, thank you. And so, yeah, I think it's a combination of surveys, which obviously are a little bit more data driven and can help us make some big decisions in terms of customer experience. But then that one-on-one conversation, I think is crucial too.
Are you getting a lot of, when you do the repeated ones or just give feedback after that service or the invoices, does that get a lot of engagement, or how are you promoting those short burst engagement opportunities?
So I will say that for project, end of project surveys, we send those out. We get a little bit of engagement on that. I think, you know, we're still trying to figure out the best way to engage with our customers, to really get them to answer these questions that we're asking. You know, I would say that we, just with adding the links to our invoice email and to our service notification email, we probably get 1 to 2 surveys a week just from that, which is right. Way more right. Engagement than we ever got with just, you know, once a year or end of job surveys.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been just doing a little bit of annual surveying of our customers. Good mixed success, right? And, you know, always like listening to what folks are doing, and we've heard through sessions at Elevate strategies around that, and just but it's effort. And if you really want that voice, and I think to your point, it's asking more often, it goes back to that earlier conversation. If you make them comfortable with sharing that information, that if they give a bad one or a good one, it doesn't hurt or hinder the pieces there, or what are we doing to promote that kind of feedback. And it's huge. I mean, our team wants to hear it too. When we hear good or tough feedback, you know, it moves us in the right direction a heck of a lot faster.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we've gone through that. So it sounds like we perfected the employee experience at Plans. Now the customer one you're digging into, you're going to have that one solved. And Pam's probably expect that to be done in like another month or two. So you get that there, right? So
end of August, we're going to have it nailed down.
Please. And then just share back with us when you figure all that out too.
Absolutely.
What is the goal that you have? You all are spending a lot of time around the sustainability of the automotives and the think differently pieces to it. How does that mix into your organization? And on both ends from that, that, you know, from, is that a strong recruiting piece from the team perspective and the client? Is it a reason that you all are really growing with the piece there? Cause I what you all are doing in terms of thinking differently about how landscapes and what we do is I think a lot of fun to hear.
Yeah, it's definitely a recruiting tool for sure. You know, the two big things for us in terms of sustainability are obviously the auto mowers, which we touched on a little bit already, but also the transition to battery powered equipment. And both of those things, I think, have attracted employees and customers alike. And, you know, we've been really transparent with our customers about the challenges. So, for example, one of the things that we ended up doing is emailing our maintenance customers who have battery powered equipment on the route and asking if the crews charged batteries on their properties because they needed a place to charge up. And I would say 80% of our customers emailed back enthusiastic yeses. And so, you know, we're going with our, and also listening to our employees and getting their feedback. And I think it's just this constant feedback loop, and making sure that you're kind of hearing everybody and doing what we can to mitigate hiccups. But when people hear about it, they're definitely interested in learning more about the company on the customer and the recruitment side.
Yeah, I think as we go into Elevate or the season of education, right, that comes around, we've over the hump of the very busy springs for some of our these markets, is just to start listening to what people are doing and how they're doing it. And you know, we're tackling the battery conversation here, and my first charge is more to say, is it right to us how we operate, what we're doing? We look at this, the life cycles and the pieces of this, and so, but then there's the challenges of that. And then we'll share the message with our clients, you know, so we tend to be a little slow or more humble, or just, you know, I don't know what the right word is for us, but it's just we figure it out first, and then we might not even tell anybody we're doing, but we're just see battery on the pieces. And I don't think that's necessarily always right. You should really just, I think, speak loudly and proudly about what your company is doing if it's really good. But it is that part to just start asking, listening to folks. As I think it was with Pam the other day, and she was talking about some of the challenges about just the infrastructure to charge all this space. So looks great, easy to use, longevity, but y'all, there's these large elements of challenges that you'll have to overcome at some point. So how do you talk through those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, it's just a matter of having a great team with some great brain power, and sitting down and thinking through the problems that arise. I mean, for the battery, obviously the infrastructure has been a challenge, and we're slowly making changes at our office to be able to accommodate. But, you know, I think the big thing for us, and I think part of the reason we're so transparent with our customers as well, is that we want this to be something that we are loud and proud about. And also, we can't move forward with it without acknowledging that there are going to be bumps in the road. And so, you know, we're maybe a little bit ahead of the curve in that regard with the battery powered equipment and the auto mowers. And we've had great success in a lot of instances. And then we've had some stumbles too, but those stumbles are opportunities for us to learn and adjust and, you know, just continuing to, like I said, have that feedback loop with customers and that feedback loop with employees.
Yeah.
I like
that point, and I share similar stories with, we tried some autonomous commercial mowers and the experience was excellent, but you learn what that, the commitment it really takes and how ready are we for this piece. And it's just, And so we learned a lot. We're not near, we sort of took a couple steps backwards in some of those areas and waiting for this technology to go. And so it's great to be first in the door sometimes. Sometimes you want some other people to get in there and right. clean it all up before we go in. But you got to be part of the conversations. And I don't think with some of these, you want to be anywhere saying, well, what do you mean, you know, battery? What's that all about? No, I think you,
right.
You want to be caught up to a point to say, I could see how it could work for my customers or for my team, for the business. And so, and there's a ton of information out there and there's a lot of people trying to get our attention with it, but, figure out what's the right piece to it. Mm-hmm. You all are giving, I think our listeners a good perspective of, you know, provide effort towards the thinking about the team, the clients, the assets, and you will win. Put firepower behind a role like yours, they're inevitably with the right people, you'll win. And some days I'm sure it feels like we didn't quite win that day, but you'll inevitably, I think they grow, they'll grow, success will grow. What is it that you hope for your role, the organization, to walk on its own eventually, right? You build things so it's better supported itself. But what's your vision for how you and the organization operates?
I mean, I think for what I would love to see for our team, for the individuals on our team, is a company full of courageous and empathetic leaders. And I think that's, some big words to throw out there. But I think it's a constant kind of work in progress, in terms of personal development and professional development, to be able to become a leader. And having those hard conversations and doing the work on yourself. That would be my biggest vision, is courageous and empathetic leaders.
Boom. All right. Again, Pam will expect that by end of the month. and with a smile on it. And so I think, just learning about you and the role, well fitted, and rightly so, that experience, and it's, and then behind that, the results will come that will benefit the business, that benefit the clients. You're charging with, the bigger picture of the person. And I think of some of our best team members, and they have had the longest career with us. Is they found a way to grow and support a family. They've found a role that just feels good to them. They've grown in the ways that they've wanted to grow with us. It's just like, how can we keep finding more and more of those stories for our companies?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my favorite core values at Plants is people first. And I think, you can interpret that in a couple of different ways, but one of the things Pam always says is people are people first. And I think that is a good approach to not only employee experience, but customer experience as well. Just kind of approach everybody with that same level of respect and kindness and empathy, and you'll get better results than you would otherwise.
So to our listeners, if you want to hear more from Hope, you are going to be at Elevate, and you've got a panel. What's the panel about?
The panel is about employee mental health, kind of erasing the stigma around conversation mental health.
And you're going to be doing that with a colleague of mine, Jenny Gerard. And so, some really great conversations.
And a couple of other folks too.
Oh, cool. And so, this is great. So everybody that actually gets to listen to you, then they're going to get to meet you in person soon enough. And Elevate offers just wonderful times to just sort of dig into some of those conversations, be it after a session or in one of the social events pieces too. So excited to hear you talk a little bit more about that, and we could learn a great deal. Thank you, Hope. This has been a very good conversation. Good reminders on this refreshing Monday. So
well, thank you for having me.
We end every segment with a rose and thorn. So what's going well, or what's been a slightly annoying, personal, professional, all things. Could be something that happened recently or a while ago, but what's your rose and thorn?
My rose and thorn. Wow. That's a good question. I mean, on a personal level, it's probably the same thing. So my rose is that I've recently gotten into indoor plants, which are behind me. Not that anybody can see them on the podcast, but, and my thorn is that I have never kept an indoor plant alive. So I'm stressing a little bit about these new plant babies. So,
You are surrounded by horticulturists, so you have at least a leg up somewhere there. Right?
Yeah, some resources to pull from.
That's it. Maybe a little bit of Miracle Grow somewhere around the facility or something like that.
Yeah, right.
If you got to really cheat the system or something. That's exciting. I think plants indoors makes everything just way cooler and just beautiful. So that's going to be a fun one.
I'm a big fan. I just am really... fingers crossed can keep them alive.
It's just, you just got to find the ones that are the bulletproof, right?
And yeah.
And
yeah.
You're going to be. And then I say that you're in Atlanta, we're in us upstate. So every winter our plants get very sad in the house. So, and because it gets cold and gray. So maybe they get the nice, a little better weather. So, I'm excited for you. That's a fun hobby piece.
Thanks.
All right. My rose and thorn, rose has been a consistent summer. One has just been going. We lead to each adventure with the family to the next fun thing. And so, and then even work too. We've got our company celebration coming up in a few short weeks. We've got a big fireworks celebration happening with the family and the friends and the company this week. So we,
that's
time
fun
to celebrate. Yeah. I mean, we get these little moments just to dig into pieces. And the thorns are, it's just finding time to breathe between all that. And so what becomes the right priority in pieces? So all these ideas that I think of that I want to do for the business, or all the things I want to do for family and friends, it's like, when, where? And so, we joked that used to say, oh, winter is the time we can really plan and breathe. And so, and that just came across some conversation today. I'm like, no, there's never been a chance to breathe in the wintertime anymore. So,
yeah. Pam and I always make that joke that, we'll do it in our slow time when it's slow in the winter. And then, we've stacked up so much to do in our quote unquote slow time that it doesn't feel slow at all.
No. There's could use a couple more months of, but we're blessed in that sense. It's to be busy, to be love what we do. And it continues to challenge ourselves. So, as long as the clients are smiling and the team members are smiling, then I think we're doing all right.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you, Hope. Great conversation. We wish you all the best. To our listeners, please, if you enjoyed this conversation, join us for future ones. Subscribe, listen, share with your friends and all the people in the world. And we will see you all on this conversation next week. Take care.